And we say a few words of meditation, particularly about that last verse. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The first effect of justification, and the one that we repeat again and again and take great comfort in, is of course life and salvation. That's what we want, and that is what is promised by the Lord through the justification earned by Christ. Sometimes we don't notice carefully enough the second effect of justification, which is newness of life. Now, it is not merely that we someday die and go to heaven and say, isn't it wonderful? But we're to say that every day. We are in a new kind of life presently. If you read Paul's letter to the Galatians carefully enough, you will notice that he, in combating the Judaizers, is answering two questions. For he says there are two questions which we need to ask about our relationship to God. And the first one is, how is a man saved? And I don't suppose there was too much argument about that, really. We are saved purely and solely by the blood of Christ, by the grace of God. But the second question, he said, is, how is a man made perfect? That was a different one. And you remember how in the third chapter of Galatians, he said, you foolish Galatians, somebody has you all mixed up. You answer the first question properly. You are saved by the salvation earned by Christ alone. But then you go on and you say, but now when it comes to everyday living, I put that aside. I keep that in my catechism or lock it up in my Bible. I leave it on Sunday morning. And now I am cast upon my own resources for ethical and moral living. Those choices I have to make about what I read or don't read, or what I watch or don't watch on television, what I say to my wife or husband or children or parents or neighbors, how I react in any kind of a situation. Now I've got to do it all by myself. Paul said, that isn't the way it is at all. You have begun in the Spirit, he says, and you must also now be brought to the goal, not in the flesh, not by your own human resources, but you need to be brought there in the same way by the Spirit. And so in this text, as we read it, I think there can be a number of psychological reactions. Paul says to the Romans, and he says to us also, stop and think about it. Logizus says, consider this. Pull the curtain down a while and give it some thought. You must be dead to sin, but alive unto God. Well, you know what a dead body is, in spite of all the legal and ethical arguments today about when a person is really dead. I think common sense tells us that one is dead when he no longer responds to stimuli. And so some of the time-worn tests of death are still valid. Stick a pin in a dead person, and what happens? He doesn't jump. Hold up a $10,000 check in front of a dead person and say, it's yours. You won't get all that leaping and jumping that they have on the giveaway shows on television. You see, there you see life, don't you, in response to a very important stimulus. And so being dead means no response to stimulus. And being alive means response to a stimulus. So we are to be dead to sin, to Satan and all that he stands for. And we know what his stimuli are. He's shooting them out at us all the time and saying, jump. The devil likes nothing better than to get us on his string and have us dancing all over the place. Read your daily paper and see the stupid things that people do in response to the stimuli of Satan. I read the paper this morning again. Some woman got into an argument with her husband after they got home from a party about whether or not to turn on the TV. And she shot him dead. That is being alive to sin, isn't it? A real response to a powerful stimulus. Well, it doesn't have to be that radical for us, but we're getting them all the time. The devil, the world, and our own flesh are constantly shooting them out and saying, respond. Paul says you should be like a dead body to that kind of stuff and not respond. And God, too, is sending his stimuli out to us, constantly telling us what to do. And he, too, wants us to dance. He wants us to respond. Well, all that is fine, but we're reminded of the story of the chaplain in prison who was delivering quite a sermon in the prison chapel, and he decided one day to recite Rudyard Kipling's great poem, If. I'm sure you've heard about it, read it. It starts out, if you can keep your head when all about are losing theirs and blaming it on you, and it goes on resoundingly. If you can do this, and if you can do that, and it ends up with that great trumpet call, what's more, my son, you'll be a man. And when he finished, one of the little prisoners way in the back row says, yeah, but what if you can't? And that's about the way we feel when we read something like this. Isn't this marvelous? Dead to sin and alive only to the stimuli that God gives us. But what if you can't? And what if already today you have responded to sin and the day has hardly begun? And what if today we haven't responded to God? Well, you know, Paul was always so honest and candid. And he recognized in his own life that great problem, the great resounding oration of what we're going to do and our inability to carry it off, the evil that I don't want to do, the satanic stimuli to which I don't want to respond, I keep responding to it. And the good that I would, I do not. Oh, what a wretched man I am. I think that's the first psychological reaction to this. It's great to say, be dead to sin and alive to God, but what if we can't? And therefore, the gospel comes back again. For the gospel, as we began, is not merely getting to heaven, but it is in connection with Christ. You notice that in this text. We must be alive to God, but there's no period there. In Jesus Christ, closely connected to him, then there is not merely despair where we throw up our hands and say we're all a bunch of hypocrites, we can't possibly live up to the high ideals that we preach to others, and that we constantly preach to ourselves, but there is now also hope if we take Paul's great advice. We can be dead to sin and alive to God, more so today than yesterday and more even tomorrow in our steps of progressive sanctification. For having begun in the Spirit, that's the only way we came to faith, we can continue and end and come to the goal in the Spirit. And that is the power of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.